1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Pray that God be pleased to help us today. I don't think I'm going to be able to come close to finishing the message that I think is in front of us, but we'll do what God has let us do and trust that He's going to have said exactly what He wants said as we look into this subject of some unmistakable marks of the last day. If you found your place there in 1 Thessalonians 5, I'd ask you in reverence to the Word of God to stand with us. We read from God's eternal Word, beginning in verse 1, where it says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." Father, we bow before You. Lord, I plead with You for Your help. I know I understand my own frailty today and how much I need You to enter in and show us, reveal the truth of Your Word to us. Father, speak to our hearts, whatever the need might be today. Lord, indeed, it may be that there's folk in our midst this morning that are yet without Christ. Lord, in Your mercy, please reveal Your Son in His greatness and His love in what He's done for us through His sacrifice at Calvary. Father, I pray that You would so reveal Him and draw savingly, gloriously, eternally to Yourself today. But Father, for every one of us, might we take heed to Your Word today. Might we take heed as we are indeed living in these last days. Might our ears be tuned to hear the trump of God. As You be pleased to call us to Yourself. We love You, Lord. We love You because You first loved us. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen and amen. Of course, may be seated. Of course, in our day, there's a lot of folks, a lot of preachers, focusing on the things of prophecy and events of the last days. And obviously, there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. There's nothing wrong whenever we would bring attention to the things of God before the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Scripture calls it, that coming day of the Lord. And over the years, even since I was saved in the early to mid-70s, there's been many. May I say this as kindly as I can, but there have been many over those years that have made a fool of themselves by setting a date here or there concerning the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I really don't understand why they would do such a thing. We read in Matthew, if you turn there, in Matthew chapter 24, don't let go of your place there in 1 Thessalonians. But we read in Matthew 24 some things concerning the Lord's return, and these things spoken to us by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He says in verse 36 of Matthew 24, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And then we read on down in that passage, picking up in verse 42, where Jesus says, "Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Again, we read very plainly, not hard to understand, that we're not to be setting the day or the hour. Well, we know not even the very angels of glory know when that hour is. And it seems that, and hard for me to put my brain around this, but it seems that not even the Son of God Himself knows exactly when that is, but the Father. And when the Father puts the wheels back in motion, then indeed, the trump of God will sound and that day of the Lord will be upon us. But what does the Lord Jesus Christ tell us to be doing now? Watch ye therefore. We're to be watchful in these days. We watch because even though we do not know the day or the hour, there are indeed some unmistakable marks of the last day that we can recognize. These are marks that cannot, and really we don't need to try to fit them into the prophetic timetable, if you understand what I mean. So often we'll put together our charts and trying to sort out just how everything fits together. And that's okay. It's interesting to do all that. But one of my Bible teachers told me, or taught us in college, that I think it was in the Daniel Revelation class, that when the Lord Jesus does come back, He'll sort out and He'll straighten out and all of our prophecy charts and put it back together just exactly as His Father has ordered it. Well, these signs that we look at this morning are not the normal marks or signs you might hear about in the latest prophecy conference. They're not what we might call those glamorous things that we hear often spoken of. These are marks, or maybe would be better described as symptoms. Symptoms that the Bible says will be more and more prevalent as we near the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are certainly not marks that we would celebrate, not marks that we would rejoice in. But I guess we would describe today's message as a biblical exhortation, I guess, concerning the spiritual climate of the professing church and even the world, which will exist in that time when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. But Paul describes in this word that we read here to the church of Thessalonica, and he gives a warning to them. In fact, throughout both his letters to the church at Thessalonica, we can see that a predominant theme in those letters is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see here that he describes here a warning that will be here in that time concerning an increased complacency to the things of God. An increase in complacency towards the things of God. Does that not turn a light on for us? Is there not indeed a increased complacency in our day for the things of God, the Word of God, and might I include the Church of God? The apostle goes into detail here, describing the philosophy of the world in the last days. Now, we read here, let me go back here. It says in verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians 5, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Well, how do they know? Because God told them. The Lord Jesus Christ told them while He walked amongst them here on this earth planet, as we read in Matthew 24 a few moments ago. The Lord warned them that that day would come as a thief in the night. We realize, we understand that no thief shows up when you're expecting him. He's not there when you've got all the security lights on and when you're watching for him. No, the thief shows up when you least expect it. He turns up in the darkness of night, as we read here. No, beloved, we understand some things that the world does not take note of, as we'll see here. In verse 3, it says, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Everything's fine, we're hearing. No problems. Oh, that's okay that Washington's coming apart at the seams. It's okay that half the country's drying up like a crisp. Oh, my, everything's fine. And when a preacher would stand up and say, hey, maybe we ought to look to God. Maybe we ought to seek the face of God. I mentioned it in Sunday school. I don't know just what the heart and spirit of our governor, Governor Perry, is. But I'm thankful that a governor would dare, that might consider running for president, to call for the state to seek God in prayer and fasting. Isn't that something? Hallelujah. I'm thankful for that. But oh my, that let a preacher stand up and say something like, maybe we ought to consider the judgment of God upon our land. Oh my, that anyone would say such a thing. That God would dare judge America? Oh my, folks. Indeed. We need to look to God. We need to understand that, yes, oh, everything's fine, peace and safety. Then, sudden, means quick, destruction coming. Everything's fine. Sort of like the guy that thought he could fly, and he jumped off the great skyscraper, and someone poked their head out the window about the 50th floor and said, hey, how's it going? And he said, hey, everything's fine this far. Oh, yeah. Sudden destruction is ahead. Everything's fine, though. Everything's fine. And such a nature of the condition and climate of the world in which we live in these days. The lost man, beloved, refuses to take heed to the warnings of the Word of God. The Bible said right here before us that one, sudden destruction will indeed come. And what's it say? They shall not escape. Sobering words, are they not indeed? Paul reminds us that the Christian, though, should know all about this. As we mentioned a moment ago, the Lord Jesus Christ was pleased to speak of these things. The prophets revealed these things. And how were they to know? Because He told them. Took in a couple other passages with me. Again, don't lose your place there in 1 Thessalonians, but look with me at 2 Peter, if you would. 2 Peter in chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. We read here, but Paul, Peter writing, but the day of the Lord will come. Does he say might come? Does he say possibly will come? No, beloved. It is a certainty. We can write it down. Mark it, beloved. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. It is indeed a certainty. But the day of the Lord, that last day, will come. One other passage, if you will, in the Revelation. The Revelation in chapter 16. The Son of God speaking here. In Revelation 16, in verse 15, He says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame." Now, what's the Lord Jesus Christ saying here? He's saying again, be certain of it. I am coming. I will come as a thief. I will come at unawares. And what's he say? You be watching. You be prepared for that time. Paul had, in our passage back in 1 Thessalonians, get my Bible closed on me, get myself back to where I'm supposed to be here. Paul had just told them in the fourth chapter of Thessalonians that the Lord Jesus Christ was indeed going to return for his saints. And I'll read that passage. I love this passage. It says in verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 4, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." What's Paul saying? Beloved, you that are saved, you that know the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't want you to be in ignorance on this thing. I don't want you to be without understanding concerning those which sleep, those which have gone, that have died in the Lord, is who he's speaking of. He says in verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again." Do you believe that? Do you believe indeed that the Son of God, Jehovah's salvation, laid down his life on our behalf? And that indeed he rose again in victory over the grave, death, and sin. "For if we believe," yes, Lord, we do indeed believe "that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Beloved, those ones that we've said goodbye to along the way, that went to the Lord in Christ, or left this world in Christ, they will one day return with our great God and Savior. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." I can rest on these statements. Beloved, it's not Jim Turner's word. It's not the word of Metropolitan Baptist Church. It's the word of the Lord. We are secure in it. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Listen to this. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And then he says to us concerning those ones that have gone on ahead, "Comfort one another with these words. Exhort each other with these precious, wonderful words." I thank you, Lord, that there is that grand reunion day ahead. That one day, if God is pleased to leave me here till he comes again, that he's going to come back with those loved ones that have gone ahead of us. And we're going to meet him and them in the clouds. Hey, it says, "And even so shall we ever be with the Lord." I can lay down my head in peace tonight with those words. Bless his name. We could settle in there for a while. What should all this mean to the Christian? It means we need to be children of the light. What's Paul go on to say in our passage there in the fifth chapter? He says in verse 5. Well, let's read verse 4. "But ye, brethren," you that are saved, you that know the Lord Jesus Christ, "are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief." No, we're not in darkness. No, not at all. Verse 5, "Ye are the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." What's Paul wanting us to understand here? That we have the illumination of the Word of God. We've received the light of the Scriptures, the Gospel, and the teachings of what God has been pleased to give us through his prophets in the New Testament writers. We have the light to understand these things, that indeed we're not going to be overtaken as the thief would. We're children of the light. And we need to be those that are on the watch. Listen at verse 6. Therefore, because of this, because we're not children of the darkness, but children of the light, children of the day, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. The Lord Jesus Christ told us there in Matthew 24, in Luke 16, that we need to be watching. The Apostle Paul says, watch, watch. The idea of the word here, this word watch, means to give something our careful, our diligent attention. It's not the idea of just sitting back in the recliner and kind of watching or gazing off into the sunset. No, beloved, that's not the idea at all. It's the idea of being actively watching, carefully watching. There's a couple illustrations that we could use to speak of this. You know, the soldier that has been placed as a sentry in the night, he's there to do what? He's there to watch out over the camp. He's there to watch out for the safety and the well-being of those who may be asleep in the camp around him. He must watch. He must, with all care, keep his eyes, keep his alertness concerning the approach of any enemy that might come. He is ready for whatever may come the way of the camp to do harm or danger. Oh my, I'm going to try to hold on for a second before we make the application to see a second illustration. Think of this watchfulness in another way. There's a family that's expecting company to the house. Oh, mom has been cleaning and putting everything in order. Everything is prepared and in its place. And she's much to do, though. She's other things to take care of. She's busy with her normal activities beyond the idea and all the things to prepare for her coming guests. And even though she is carrying on with her normal duties, what's she doing? She's still watching. She's still watching and doing her best to keep everything in order as she waits with expectation, watching as the guests might arrive. Oh, there's a couple of applications we can make with this. As a believer, as a Christian, as one that understands that indeed there's enemies in this world in which we live to the cause of Christ, I, as a pastor, am charged by the Word of God that I'm to be as that sentry. I'm to be watchful. I'm to be looking out for the protection of those that God has entrusted with my care. And we as brothers and sisters in Christ need to be watchful for the enemy's attack. Hey, he's on the prowl, seeking whom he may destroy, beloved. As a father, you need to be watching out for the camp, for your children, for your family. As believers, we need to be watchful in this matter. But as well as this mother who was actively watchful, we see her expectantly watching. And in her task, she was maintaining everything that was under her charge. She was taking care of the preparations for the expectant guest. But she was also taking care of her ongoing duties. And beloved, we need to be busy. Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ charged us to occupy. To occupy how long? Till He comes.
Amen.
Huh? That's in light of the second coming, isn't it? We're to be occupying. We're to be watching. Hey, that's not a passive thing, beloved. That's not describing just sitting back and waiting for the trump that might come. No, we're to be involved in preparations. Hey, we're expectantly watching as well as protectively watching. We need to do it as it's described here, soberly, soberly. Let us watch and be sober. Verse 8 says, but let us who are of the day, you and I who have that illumination, have been given the light of the Word of God, we that are of the day, that we would be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Oh, wow, there's so much in this passage. The word sober, the word sober as we find it here, literally means just to abstain from wine. It's the idea of the word. But the spiritual application is clear as well. We need to be those who take this thing seriously, soberly. We need to have things under control, having a serious disposition in the matter of what we're doing right now. Now, it's certainly right, it's certainly good to have fun along the way. You know, there's times I take things too serious. There's times I just can't see the humor in things that other folks might be laughing about. Then there's other times that I laugh when I shouldn't laugh. And my wife looked right up there. Huh? We can get ourselves in trouble when we should be serious when we might get a chuckle out of something. Well, it's okay to have fun along the way. But I believe what the Apostle Paul is trying to communicate to us is that we need to be seriously alert to what's going on. Huh? What's going on in this crazy world in which we live? We are not those that are in the dark. Hey, the Apostle Paul here in our passage contrasts two groups of people. Those that are in the dark. Those that are in the night. Those that would sleep and are drunken. Those that have not given themselves to understand what's going on in this world and taking the warnings and the exhortations to get right with God and to be right with God. Say, what's the difference? Well, there's a day when we got right with God, when God was pleased to reveal our need of Him, and we came into that saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But that was just the beginning, right? Ever since that day, we need to continue in that walk with the Lord, ordering our lives in such a way that it reveals that we're not children of the dark anymore. We're no longer children of the night, but that God is pleased to shine the light of the glorious gospel into us, and it made a change. Huh? It wasn't just a momentary change, but a change that continued. And by God's grace, continue till we hear the shout. Amen. We're not to be those that would be of the night, slumbering along the way in our spiritual lives here as we read in verses 7 and 8. Oh, I could deal with so many things here, and I hesitate to go here, but it sure pertains. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. We find another exhortation given to us in light of the second coming of Christ, in light of that day of the Lord. Oh, so often, yes, we can fall into a slumber where we just seem to lose sight of those things that we should be diligent about and giving ourselves to. But folks, we can also grow lazy concerning the things of God, the church of God. And here in Hebrews chapter 10, I've had folks get mad at me just because I'd read this verse to them. They don't like it. Well, here it is. We begin in verse 23. It says, let us. Who's the us? Those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that have been saved by that holy, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He, that's Jesus, that's our great God, is faithful that promised. God has made some promises to us concerning our salvation, concerning the security of our relationship with Him. In response to that, verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Oh, there's a lot of provoking goes on in local churches. We can tend to poke and prod and get ourselves in a fuss with each other. But that's not what the Hebrew writer's talking about. No, here he's talking about provoking one another to love and to the good works of God. We need to be challenging each other in these days for the things of God and the work of God. And in the midst of that, he goes on and says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Oh my, that's where the rub comes. Now you've gone to meddling, preacher. What are you saying? I'm saying exactly what the Bible says. Don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. Don't lay out of church. Oh, I'll make a point in a moment. I'll hesitate here. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Don't take the example of those that would, or don't take the bad example, I should say, of some. But exhorting one another, challenging one another about what? About the church house, about being together where the Word of God is taught and preached, where we can be together to challenge each other, to encourage each other, to comfort each other. It's all part of that ministry, one to another. Don't take that example of some, but exhorting one another. Now get this, and so much the more. Even more so. This is even more important, the Hebrew writer says, as ye see the day approaching. What could he be talking about? What else could he be talking about except for that coming day of the Lord? Huh? We need each other all the more now than we ever have, beloved. This world is doing everything it can to discourage you and to dissuade you from your faithfulness to the things of God and the house of God, the Word of God, hey, to the things of prayer and such. It's trying to pile us on from our young people to the oldest to busy our lives more and more with everything but the things of God. But what's the Bible say? That as we grow closer and nearer to that return of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we grow even nearer to that time when indeed the shout will come and the trump will sound, we need to emphasize all the more our assembling together where we can hear from the good Word of God and be taught and instructed in how we can deal with these times in which we live, how we can face the trials that we will indeed face. So much more as you see the day approaching. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to just take the exhortation that the Lord would give us. Oh my, where do we go here? We've got so many. I've barely got the introduction in. We see in these as an unmistakable mark of the last day that there'll be an increased unbelief, even concern. The Lord's return. More doubt, more question that the Lord, if there's a Lord, will come back at all. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We pick up here in verse 3. Peter writing in this case, and he says, knowing this first, understand this for certain, he says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Those days before the return of Christ, there'll be more and more scoffers and mockers present, walking after their own lust. These scoffers have their own agenda. They have their own schemes, their own desires, their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Nothing's changed. Everything just keeps going on as it has. Come on, get off it. He's not coming back. For this, now get this, for this they are willingly are ignorant of. They choose to ignore the truth. They're willingly ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. What's he talking about? Talking about the worldwide flood of Noah. But, verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. This world will stand in judgment. It is certain. God has declared it. But, beloved, Peter says, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Now again, there's been those that have tried to use this and apply it to come up with their last day's timetables and so forth. I don't even want to go there. God can put His timetable together the way He wants it. The obvious point to me as I read this verse is that time is irrelevant to God. He's the present tense God. He always operates now in the present tense. And when He says it's time, it's time. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but as, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Beloved, you and I are living in these days, and I don't want to make my final point now, but I'll say it anyway. Believe that we are indeed living in the last days. We may be on the very threshold. We may be, it may be that the trump will sound before we say amen to this service. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In the meantime, there's lost souls perishing without Christ. There are those that need to hear the good word of God and the gospel of what Jesus Christ did for them. Beloved, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as you and I may be, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering with every moment, every hour, every day that trump does not sound. It's an expression of the long suffering of God. Is an expression of His love and His mercy. It's an expression of His amazing grace that He would give man another day to repent of their sin and be right with God. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the passage does not stop there, does it? It says, verse 10, but the day of the Lord might come. Oh, no. The day of the Lord will come. Indeed, it will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. It is marked down. God has declared it. It will take place. Exactly according to His timetable. But there's a result that should come of this. This should do something in my heart and your heart. In verse 11, it says, seeing them that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Oh my, what's the point that Peter makes?
We that are of the day, we that know these things, we that say we believe the Word of God, how then should you and I be living? How then should you and I respond to such? We should be living lives that manifest the good grace of God in us. We should be living lives that emulate the holiness of our God. Oh my. Where do we go? There's an increase of religion in our day, to say the least. There's lots of religion. There's no lack of religion. I don't know how much reality there is, though. I'll read a passage and we'll hardly comment on it. But we'll read in 1 Timothy chapter 4. All these passages referring to the last days. God wants us to know, doesn't He? He wants us to understand these things. Chapter 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit," capital S, the Holy Spirit of God, "speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." What a horrible thought. That, and beloved, don't ask me who this is. Who is it that would be deceived in such a way? Who is it that will depart from the faith? The idea is that there will be an apostasy in the last days. And I had a whole other point to deal with this. But beloved, be assured, in the last days, in these days, as we're witnessing, there's going to be a greater and greater departure from this, from the truth of the Word of God. More and more men seem to be relying on human reason and human understanding, and less upon the Word of God and the sound wisdom that God would give to us. The passage goes on. Here in verse 2 again, it says, "speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving." And the passage goes on, dealing with how easy it is to fall into deception. If we're not those that are consciously, as Jesus challenges us, as Paul challenges us, as Peter challenges us, to be sober and watch. Cling to the truths of the Word of God, beloved. Cling to the truth of this Bible, that we not be caught up in deception. Hey, we have no advantage over some others. Baptists can fall into these things as well as some other denomination. We can fall into a legalism or a man-made set of standards or such. However, we'll come up with our religion and lose the reality, beloved. The reality that is ours in Christ. Oh, yes, Lord. Help us in these days. Help us that we might cling to the truth. Cling to the things of God. Watch ye therefore. Peter challenging us to live in that consideration that indeed this world will perish and everything in it. And we seem to be living with the world's desire to get all we can and can what we get. Huh? We want to get more and more and more and forget that it's all going to burn up with a fervent heat. It's all going to perish. I ask you the question. As we consider our own lives. I've already had to go through this in the early hours of the morning. Just think about the last week.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. As you consider what consumed your week, what you spent your week doing, how much of it, are you listening? How much of it will matter one bit when we get to eternity? Sobering, isn't it? And yet we're children of the light, right? Children of the day. We've been given insight concerning the future, knowing that yes, indeed, the day of the Lord will come. Jesus is gonna come back for us. We believe that. And yet we live as if we didn't. Gets real quiet now, doesn't it? Got real quiet in my office too. Wasn't no shouting going on. Lord, help us to evaluate what matters. Again, beloved, what do we want to busy ourselves with? Hey, I understand. I hope I don't have to preach the other side of this thing. I know that you all have to go out and punch that clock. I know that there has to be that the job work so you can put the beans on the table. I understand all those things. But what I'm talking about is where our hearts focused? Are our hearts focused on the vanity of this world, or is it focused on the cause of Christ? The trump will sound. The shout is going to come. What do you want to be doing when that trump sounds? Think about it. It might be you had to argue with yourself to get to church this morning. I mean, you might have just as soon stayed and worshipped at St. Mattress. Hey, am I a lion? I've been there. But I'm glad I'm here. Because if the trump should sound in this hour, I'd sure hate to be laying out of church. I'd sure hate to be on the boat at the lake when the trump sounds. And the church is meeting down at the church house. Am I? Imagine it. You say, preacher, you're just trying to put us in fear. I'd be afeared. That's sophistication talk there. I'd be afeared if I was laying in a lazy boy when the church was meeting and the trump sound. Too late to grab the keys then. I know I've gone to big time meddling now, but the truth's the truth. We need to get serious about the things of God. And I'm not just talking about church attendance and such things as that. I'm talking about living for Jesus. We need to live for Jesus in these days. Do we have religion or do we have Jesus? Religion's of the devil. It'll keep you busy doing this and that and the other thing. Living for Jesus is what we need in these days. We need to live for Jesus. I didn't get halfway through these things today, but I think we get the message, don't we? We can look around and see that the marks are there. The symptoms are very obvious in our day. But I pray, Lord Jesus, please, help us to live as children of the light, children of the day, those that have understanding, those that have been instructed by our good God. It may be, beloved, you're here this morning, and I would not be doing right if I did not challenge you. Are you ready for that day? Who said the day is certain, it will come. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Please, 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 don't leave this place without Him. I know it would break our God's heart it break this preacher's heart. And the trump sound, you're not there with us as we meet him in the air. Oh my, I want every one of us that are here today to be letting loose with our shouts of glory as we join Jesus in the air. And all those loved ones that will be there to meet us. I don't want you left behind, beloved. Young or old, man or woman, please, please make certain of your relationship with Christ. And may we that are saved, may we live as children of the day. May we live conscious of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together.